You're listening to Norman Bolter, since 1975 a member of the Boston Symphony Trombone Section and principal trombone of the Boston Pops. Norman Bolter is playing music of Norman Bolter, and it is part of his catalog of some 200 compositions. He grew up in Minneapolis and wanted to play the trombone beginning at age 4 after seeing it played by Mr. Green Jeans on Captain Kangaroo, the CBS Morning Children's Show. A 5-year wait did not deter his enthusiasm, and his progression on the instrument was extremely rapid. By the time he reached his early teens, the Chicago Symphony under George Schulte was a magnet for aspiring brass players. Yet he gravitated toward Boston. Norman Bolter explained why.
I did listen to the Chicago Symphony and the Minneapolis Symphony. I mean, brass players were listening to the Chicago Symphony for a lot of different reasons, and my teachers, Stephen Zelmer, who then was principal trombone of the Minnesota Orchestra, was a Chicago Symphony, in a sense, protege, studied with Arnold Jacobs and Edward Kleinhammer and Frank Crisafulli. But at age 12, my father told me, he said, you know, your uncle, no Aunt Jerry, my sister, well, she's married to Sherman Walt. And he's one of the greatest bassoonists in the world, and he's first bassoon of the Boston Symphony. And I went, wow. And I remember meeting him for the first time when he came over, because I didn't even know that before. Hmm. And my aunt gave me a recording of him doing the Vivaldi 4 bassoon concertos with the Zimbler Sinfonietta.
Right.
And I just fell in love with it. Every day after school, I'd listen to Vivaldi. It was like my sanctuary. Hmm. And so I always thought of the Boston Symphony, and it had a lot of my mentors in it. Armando Gatala, Chester Schmitz, James Stagliano, Sherman Walt. You know, I mean, Dorio Dwyer, Ralph Gunn. They were all people I really, really looked up to. As a matter of fact, my father took me to Tanglewood in 1968, and I had written a piece called The Song of King David, which I actually wrote later on and wrote it for trombone and piano, but I wrote this piece for solo trombone, and I played it for Sherman at Tanglewood. I played it for Joe Silverstein, and they took me to play it for Bill Moyer, who used to be the second trombone player of the Boston Symphony and then was personnel manager for many years, and I played it for him. So that was my introduction. I always thought of the BSO.
BSO trombonist Norman Bolter with his more recent version of The Song of King David. With Ron Barron as principal and Douglas Yeo as bass trombone, they have been together for 22 seasons, the longest tenure for a trombone section in BSO history. Bass trombonist Doug Yeo talked about the challenges of playing second trombone in the BSO.
It's often been said that the only time you notice a second player of any instrument in a symphony orchestra is when they mess up, because their whole role, or much of their role, is about fitting in and being that middle part of the chord, the third of the chord. Norman's done this tremendously. Our section with Ron Barron, Norman, and myself, you know, we came to an understanding very early on of how each other play, and we play to each other's strengths and help each other's weaknesses. That said, Norman's also a tremendous solo player, and whenever there have been solos that he's had to step up and play for second trombone, whether it's something like Scheherazade or Russian Easter or Mozart Requiem, or some of the many solos that he's played as principal of the Boston Pops, which he's done for many of these years, or the tenor horn euphonium solo from Mahler 7, which I think remains in my mind one of the most remarkable instances of brass playing I've ever heard on any instrument. He's always stepped up and just did a fantastic job.
The Mahler 7th Symphony with Seiji Ozawa conducting and Norman Bolter playing the euphonium solo. Norman Bolter joined the Boston Symphony at age 20, while still an undergraduate at the New England Conservatory. His experiences before he joined the ensemble make for some interesting stories. Again, here's Norman Bolter.
My first experience playing with the Boston Pops, I was basically a freshman at New England Conservatory. Oh. But I was challenged because I was also doing a lot of freelance work in town. I was in the Boston Ballet, the Boston Opera, the Cambridge Brass Quintet, the Springfield Symphony, something that usually doesn't happen to an 18-year-old, but I was very enthusiastic, practiced many hours, and I felt very ready and took these auditions, and I got them. Mm. So freelancers knew me in Boston. Mm-hmm. Plus, I was in the Berkshire Music Center before it was called the Tanglewood Music Center, before that for a few years. And so people knew me, and there was Bolero, Ravel's Bolero, coming up for a concert with the Pops. And Ron Barron, I guess, had that night off. And they called me 2 weeks before the concert. No rehearsal. I repeat, no rehearsal. And there was a whole bunch of stuff on before Bolero. I mean, people hear Ravel's Bolero, they think it's a great piece and it's fun to listen to. But the trombone has a really high kind of Tommy Dorsey's solo. And a lot of people years ago used to have it written out of their contracts that they wouldn't play Bolero. But now, a lot of people, it's part of the standard thing. Players have improved. And so I was really ready to play it. And I was very excited. And I remember when I got to Symphony Hall, an hour in advance, the manager told me that Maestro Fiedler wants to talk to me. I said, okay. So I went into his little office. And he said, young man, now, we're doing Capriccio Espagnol before the Bolero, plus several other things like Tchaikovsky Fourth Last Movement, Brahms Academic Festival Overture, some big English. And he took me in and he said, young man, now, in the third part, when the harp has the cadenza, the harp goes, and he's going to go, and he said, I'm going to go one, two, and you go, pump, pump.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I said, you got it? And I said, I got it. So we shook, and I was walking towards the door. And he said, young man? And I turned around. I said, yes, maestro. He said, can you play the Bolero? And I said, yes, I can. And he winked at me, and he said, good. And I was happy. It went very well. And mm-hmm. I got a lot of comments from people in the orchestra. And Dick Mackey came up to me, the former fourth horn player. He came up to me and he said, that was great. He said, you just don't know how hard it is yet.
The chair of second trombone in the Boston Symphony means that you are a principal in the Boston Pops. And as a result, Norman Bolter has had everything from John Williams film scores to Tommy Dorsey's solos on his music stand. Here he is with the Irving Berlin tune Marie, with John Williams conducting. Face it, it's human nature that if you are an aspiring brass player, the stars that will impress you the most will be the ones that play the loudest. That hasn't been the case in Boston. Here's BSO bass trombonist Doug Yeo.
Well, a part of that comes from the fact that we've kind of released the need to be noted for that. Norman, Ron, and I are all very different kinds of trombone players, yet we come together to do some very special things. And when I look back at the collaborations that we've had, some things like, for instance, the Brahms symphonies with Haitink, you know, just really wonderful blending of the soft chorales, or the many recordings that we made with John Williams and the Boston Pops, especially the two albums of music of Steven Spielberg, when Norman was playing first trombone. And there's no trombone player on the planet, living or in the ground, who can play louder than Norman Bolter, should he wish to do it. The thing is that all of us are situational players, and we've never bought into the idea, as some players and some orchestras have felt, that the trombone is the most important thing in the orchestra, and it needs to be heard as if it's the most important thing in the orchestra at all times. We're situational players, a little bit like the way Bill Belichick looks at the Patriots. He wants situational football, know what's going on, and fit yourself into that. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that.
Today, brass players know Norman Bolter as much for his compositions as his trombone playing. As I mentioned, more than 200 works to date, and at least one for each of his friends and colleagues. I asked him how he manages to do it all and when.
Well, I guess one of the things that to me is very powerful in my life is that, you know, my first four teachers were my grandmother and my grandfather and my mother and my father. Now, they weren't musicians, so to speak. My grandfather was a self-taught violinist. My grandmother sung in the basement. But my mother could sing to me and take fear away. On a Ferris wheel, she'd sing and take fear. My grandmother would start singing and could take away a headache. My grandfather would transport himself to his native Poland when he'd play his violin of the old tunes, the old Yiddish tunes or the old folk tunes, and he'd shed a tear. And for me, that's what I thought music was supposed to do. To inspire, to heal, to take away fear, to time travel. And so I never lost that core of what music was to me. So it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually, I started writing out things when I was 13. And then eventually, I would say about 14, 15 years ago, I started writing all the time music that was in my mind and just started writing. So you say, how did I balance all these things? Because at one time, I was in the Empire Brass Quintet as well.
Right.
And principal and pops. And I teach, you know, more than a lot of people do in my position, sometimes between 10 and 20 hours a week. So my balancing came at the middle of the night. I'd be writing music till 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And that's how I balanced it all. But I could not do it. I had to do it.
To close, here's Doug Yeo. And in the background, music by Norman Bolter. This is a piece written for Douglas Yeo for bass trombone and ensemble titled Of Mountains.
We are very, very different people. I don't know if you could find a trombone section with three people that sit next to each other working day in and day out who are different in so many ways. Yet there are many fundamental similarities. And my relationship with Norman began at my audition here in 1984, when I sat down in the section playing part of the audition. And right away, without having said a word except hello, I sensed from him, and he told me later he sensed from me, a real communication between the two of us. Now, after over 22 years of doing this, we have so much that's unspoken between us that it's almost scary. I know how he breathes, he knows how I breathe. We know, we can anticipate each other's moves, we know what dynamic the other person is going to play before they play it. We can tell when one of the or the other isn't feeling well and one of us has to compensate for something. We know what's going on when we're playing octaves or unisons. This has been a relationship that's gone on for a long time, and I've told many people I have spent more time with Norman on this job than I have with any other person on this planet except my wife and my two daughters. And this is difficult for me, you know, to be, as it were, left behind. But with Norman retiring in a couple of weeks and Ron Barron retiring at the end of this season, I will go from being the youngest and newly tenured member of the trombone section to be the oldest and longest tenured member. And I'm going to miss these guys. And I'm especially going to miss Norman because we have a wonderful playing and personal relationship here on the job.